Well, Merry Christmas. Oh, come on now. Hey, listen, it's December. The Christmas season is here. We can say it all month long. Merry Christmas. All right, so now that the Christmas season is here, every time you turn on the radio, what are you going to hear? Christmas music. It's there, right? You walk into a store, what are you going to hear? Christmas music, Starbucks. You get the, it's Christmas music, right? All month long. Well, something happened to me the other day. I was walking through our office here, and I caught myself, there's no music playing anywhere, but I caught myself humming Christmas songs. And that's really out of the ordinary for me, because generally speaking, historically, I don't like Christmas music. I just never have. People have called me a Grinch for that. They've done the x-ray. My heart's there, unlike the Grinch thing, right? I promise, I do like the Christmas season. I just historically haven't liked the music until this year, right? Something happened. Right now, I'm in the car, and I go to the station that has Christmas music on, and I'm singing it to my kids on the way to school. They hate it, but I'm singing it right there in the car. I find myself humming it in the office. Yesterday, I was walking into a store, and I caught myself singing out loud where other people could hear me the words to Mary, Did You Know? And I caught myself, I was like, what are you doing? Right? Who are you right now? What is going on? I've just got this newfound appreciation for Christmas music. And so I did some research last night, just trying to sort of look up, okay, some of those most popular songs of all time. And I've got a list for you I want to share. Think for a minute, if you will. You don't have to say it out loud. The most popular Christmas song of all time. Got it? In your head, what is it? Silent Night. White Christmas by Bing Crosby. 1942. Over 50 million copies of that single have been sold, and you know, many, many, many millions have been streamed as well. Now, that gets us to the most streamed Christmas song of all time. It's a little bit newer than Bing Crosby. It's All I Want for Christmas Is You by the one and only. You guys know it, right? Chelsea sings that song to me every Christmas season, right? That's sort of her Christmas song, right? Mariah Carey, breaking streaming records every single year in December and now sliding into November because so many of you like to start so early. However, that's not a judgment. I'm just saying, right? Some of you are starting earlier. The most recorded Christmas song of all time, that, Charles, is Silent Night, right? Most recorded Christmas song of all time, written in 1818. Think about how long ago that was. Over 200 years ago, right? Silent Night was written, and it points us back to the real reason for everything that we're doing this Christmas season. And when I saw that's the most recorded song of all time, and it is so old, I wanted to think, okay, what are some other old Christmas songs? When were these things written? You can go to the mid-1700s before the Declaration of Independence and find Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It was written in the mid-1700s, a little bit earlier than that, Joy to the World. It was written in the early 1700s. And then we just sang, I guess, a modernized version of O Come, Emmanuel. Think for a minute. Just give me your best guess. When was that written? Earlier. Whatever your guess was, it's earlier. That was written in the 8th century, over 1,000 years ago. Now, I'm sure the music sounded a little bit different, but the lyrics, over 1,000 years ago. And you can't find much before that. Right, you look at the early church and you read the New Testament, you read the book of Acts, and you don't find the church in Corinth singing jingle bells as they gathered together. It just was not a thing. But you will find a hymn that points us to the reality of Christmas by very clearly stating that God is with us. And if you're taking notes this morning, that's our title, God with Us. And it's more than a phrase. It's more than the title of a sermon. God with us is a theological certainty that's foundational to our faith as followers of Christ. Look with me, if you've got your Bible, on Philippians chapter 2. Turn to Philippians 2. We're going to start in verse 5. We're going to work our way through to verse 11. And as you're turning, just know that many scholars believe that these verses were a hymn that was sung by Christians in the first century, the early church. We could call this the first Christmas song that's ever been written because it points to the reality that God is with us. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, says this: Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you go caroling this year, if that's a tradition for you or your family or your group of friends, put that to music and let that be one of your carols. And if someone opens the door, just start singing, "Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus," and record it, because I want to see the reaction of people at the door. But it's no, Philippians 2, it's a hymn, right? It's an old school Christmas song. It's one of the most powerful passages in the Bible. It displays a powerful reality that Jesus is born. This song points us to that first Christmas, that night in Bethlehem that we read about in Luke chapter 2, where the time came for her to give birth and wrap him in swaddling clothes, and she lays him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. This song tells us that, how Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth. Look at verse 7. Jesus was born in the likeness of men. Look at verse 8. Jesus was found in human form. And when you read the entire context of this, verses 1 through 11, we see that Jesus was born as a baby that first Christmas morning out of obedience to God, ultimately to fulfill the plans and promises of God. This is a massive anchor to our Christian theology. Jesus stepped out of heaven and he became God with us. When you read Philippians 2 in the original language, the Greek right there, it's rhythmic. It's poetic. The words in there would rhyme. They would be catchy to you if you read the language, right? It's like a song from today. I mentioned All I Want for Christmas Is You a minute ago, and in unison, almost every person in here said Mariah Carey. And I saw a few of you, I won't point you guys out, you started mouthing the words, right? Like you were there. They popped into your head because it's catchy. Right? It rhymes. Like you remember it. Songs, music, has this way of working itself into our minds and into our hearts. We remember songs. We remember music. With that in mind, we're going to pause here. Let me take a quick detour, which is why we should be so wise. Which is why we should be so wise about the songs that we allow into our minds and hearts, because they stick there. So many of you know the words to Mariah Carey. Think back to when you graduated high school. What song was on repeat for you? Still know the words? Bet you do. Songs have this way of working their way into us. The lyrics are there. The message gets there. We remember it. Be wise about what you feel your mind and your heart with, because you're going to remember it. And in that same vein, be so wise about the songs that you allow into your kids' minds and into your kids' hearts. They're going to grow up singing them. They're going to grow up remembering them. They're going to grow up thinking about them. When they're the age that you are now, they're going to remember the songs that they listened to when they were kids. Ensure that you are filling their hearts and their minds with songs that lift up the name of Jesus. Songs sink in. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi here, and what's he got? He includes a song. He includes a song about the miraculous birth of Jesus so that it would sink in and be on their minds and in their hearts. So for all of us, as we head into another busy, chaotic Christmas season, press play on that song. Right, the fact that God is with us. He stepped out of heaven and he's with us. We actually have a song about it, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Right, it comes from Matthew chapter 1. Look at that verse with me. Matthew 1:23. It says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This was God's plan. Was not a random event or occurrence. It was God's plan that was prophesied about all the way back in Genesis 3, but specifically in Isaiah chapter 7, which was written over 700 years before that night in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself is going to give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." That's Christmas, right? God is with us. So this week, as you're doing all things Christmas, looking at lights or buying presents or wrapping presents or going to parties or paying your credit card bill or getting stuck in Christmas traffic, on repeat, in your mind and in your heart, remind yourself that all of this, these trees, the lights, the tree, all of this is to celebrate that the powerful reality that God really is with us. That's how the Gospel of Matthew starts. Matthew chapter 1, we read about the birth of Christ. We read the name Emmanuel, God with us. And this morning, we're going to walk through that in two ways. Right? First, what I want to do is I want to unpack that theology for just a moment in here as a group. Right? What are we really saying when we are saying Jesus became God with us? And then second, I want to drill down on the practicality of that. What does that mean in my life today that God is with me? What does it mean in my life that Jesus became Emmanuel when I go to work, when I'm with my kid? Well, what does it mean as I navigate every season of life? But first, the theology of God with us. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "The Word," speaking of Jesus, "the Word became flesh." Right? So Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we're talking about the birth of Jesus, that very first Christmas morning, theologians like to use a term, and the term is incarnation. If you've heard that term before and wondered what it meant, here's the definition. It's just a term that's used to indicate that Jesus, the eternal, that word matters, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh. It comes from John 1:14, where the Word became flesh. We just read it, but truly, right, the incarnation is the Christmas story. I want you to think with me about a birth, right? Every child that is born on this earth, it's a totally new life, right? A new life. We had a family in our church that gave birth to a beautiful baby boy over the weekend, right? It's a birth that we can celebrate together. It's a birth that their family is absolutely going to celebrate, just like we celebrate all births. But listen, when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating that the birth of Jesus, a birth that is unlike any other birth that has ever happened, because the birth of Jesus was not the beginning of Jesus. Please understand this morning that Jesus Christ is eternal. Jesus existed before Mary and Joseph. Jesus existed before any of his earthly ancestors. His birth, it's unlike any other birth by God's very clear plan and God's very clear design. He had an earthly mother, absolutely. Her name we know from Scripture is Mary. She's probably in your living room right now. You've got a nativity set up, right? You can look in that nativity set and you can see Mary reminding us of Jesus' earthly mother. And you see Joseph there as well. But you have to remember that Jesus was not conceived by an earthly father. He was a miracle of the Holy Spirit conceived in the womb of Mary. And again, this was always the plan. Right, the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah tell us that Jesus was going to be born of a woman. You can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and see God talking to Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden, and we know from that moment that the Savior is going to be born of a woman. We can read in Isaiah chapter 7, I just read it, that the woman's going to be a virgin. We studied the book of Hebrews chapter 11 a lot this fall. We looked at the life of Abraham. We know that God told Abraham, the Savior is going to come through your line, your family, born into your family. We can carry that forward and get to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and see God's conversation with King David, where he tells King David, hey, listen, there's a king, a Savior that's coming, that's going to sit on your throne and reign forever and ever and ever. He's going to be born in your line. And so when we read the Christmas story and look at the genealogy section there, don't just skip it because you can't pronounce the names. Read it and understand that it's part of God's unfolding plan and design. In Matthew and Luke, we see from Eve to Abraham to King David, to King Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. We see in the incarnation of Jesus that very first Christmas. Salvation, it doesn't come from man and our plans. Salvation ultimately comes from God. Salvation is the work through Jesus of a supernatural God who loves us, who sent his Son to be with us, God with us. That silent night in Bethlehem, that very first Christmas morning, it was and it is at the center of all human history. Here's another beautiful miracle of the incarnation. Not only that God took on flesh and was born, he was born fully human and fully God. This matters. It really does. That the doctrine of the incarnation, it's a massive part of what we believe as followers of Christ. Think about the humanity of Jesus for just a minute. He's born of Mary, right? He came into the world crying just like any other baby. Right, Mary, I'm sure, had a hard time getting him to sleep that first night. She didn't have a sound machine in the, in the stable to drown out the cows and the goats as she's laying him down in the hay. He wasn't born with a halo on his head that made him not cry like other babies cry. Not at all. Right? He was born a baby like other babies are born. And as you read the Gospels, you just take Matthew, right? Matthew tells him it's God with us. Just read through Matthew, and you see the humanity of Jesus on display. You see Jesus get tired and have to take a break. You see Jesus get hungry and need food. You see Jesus increase in wisdom. Luke 2:52 says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and grew in favor with both God and man. You see him growing up and developing like any kid would grow up and develop. You see Jesus have moments where his soul is overwhelmed and he's filled with grief, weeping at the death of his friend Lazarus. You see him looking out over the city of Jerusalem and knowing how they're going to reject the gift that God gave him. He's weeping over the city of Jerusalem and over the people of God. You see him go home to his hometown. And what is he known as? That's the carpenter's son. He's known as a man. Back to Philippians chapter 2. Born in the likeness of man. Why is it important to understand that Jesus was a man? It reminds us that we have a Savior that can identify with us. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us this. Therefore, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because Jesus himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted, or he is able to help those who are suffering. We could go for weeks on this topic. I just want you to understand, as you think about Christmas, that God with us means Jesus became man to save man. But when he did, he did not stop being God. I walked through the human characteristics. Now think about the divine characteristics that we see in Scripture. Jesus had power over disease. We saw him raise the lame to walk. We saw him heal lepers. I mispronounced it in the first service and said leopards. He healed lepers, restored sight to the blind. Sometimes he did it with a word, sometimes he did it with a touch. He had power over disease, all of them. He had command over nature. Remember that specific moment in Matthew chapter 8 where Jesus is on the boat and he calms the storm? Think about that. He calms the storm. It goes from a raging sea where everyone in the boat thinks they're about to die to peace. Think about the words of the disciples in that moment. Matthew 8:27. What kind of man is this? They said, man. What kind of man is this? Then they finished the thought and said, even the winds and the waves, the winds and the sea obey him. God. Right? The God-man. He's the only one that has power over all of nature. He had power over sin. He forgave sin. His ministry on earth. He had power over death. He brought people back from the dead. He brought himself back from the dead 3 days after he was crucified. Matthew 1, first gospel, first chapter, says God is with us. That's how the book starts. And then as you read, you get this picture of Jesus, fully man, and able to identify with us in every regard, and fully God, still with complete control and power over the universe. And so when you put that reality together, God with us, the incarnation, the doctrine of Jesus, full humanity and full deity, it's the most miraculous miracle in the entire Bible. He was born as a baby and he exists eternally, sustaining the universe. What a miracle to think about. God with us is foundational to our faith. And I know we just scratched the surface there, but it's important for us to understand that truth. And now I wanted to save a little bit of time to show you, as we head towards Christmas, a glimpse of what does that mean for me? All right, fully God, fully man, God with us. He stepped out of heaven. He came to earth. What does that mean in my life, day in and day out? Well, if you're taking notes, first, God with us means this. He alleviates our fear and he gives us courage. He alleviates fear and gives courage. Have you ever been scared? Maybe it's been a while. Think back to when you were a kid. Think back to when you were scared of the dark or scared of the storm. What took away your fear and gave you courage? Think about that. What took away your fear as a kid? It was the presence of someone that was greater than whatever it was you feared. Your parents with you in your mind, and your little kid mind, your parents were greater than the darkness. And you didn't fear anymore when they were there. Your parents were greater than the monster hiding under your bed. You didn't fear anymore when they walked into the room. When you're walking outside at night and it's dark, and you reached up and held their hand, you walked with a different level of confidence because they were with you. And their presence drove that fear away. That's a biblical pattern. Right? God knows we're going to face moments in life, not just kids, but us now, right? We're going to face moments in life that bring us great fear as we're walking through them, as we're walking towards them. And here's what we see over and over in Scripture. We see life happens, right? That moment brings us fear. And as we're in that fear, God says, hey, don't fear. You don't have to do this. And God then promises to be with us, and he tells us what we're going to do next, right? Life happens. Don't fear. You don't have to fear because I'm with you, and I'm going to be with you whatever you face. Listen, the truth I'm driving at is this. An awareness of God's presence in your life will drive out your fear. An awareness of the presence of God in your life drives out fear. That's why this song, Emmanuel, God with us, it's so important to our hearts, because I'm telling you what, We could be in fear every moment of every day, couldn't we? We could be in fear. We could be worried about every little thing. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my grandkids? What's going to happen with this diagnosis? What's going to happen to my friend? What's going to happen with my job? What's going to happen to my business? What's going to happen with my finances? What's going to happen with my marriage or my relationship or my kids' marriage or my kids' relationship? What's going to happen when they go to... Well, I mean, you could play the what-if game all day long, worried and scared about every little thing that might pop up in your life, but you don't have to. And God doesn't want you to be scared like that. 365 times in the Bible, we're told, do not fear. It's once for every day. And almost every time, the reason we're told not to fear is the same. Do not fear because God is with you. Right? Here's a short list of verses, right? Like a short list of verses to impress that truth into our hearts. I could give you a 365 verses, but here's a short list. Think about this. All the way back in the book of Genesis, we have God saying, hey, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. Deuteronomy 31, Joshua 1, a new season for the people of Israel. They're going in, there's enemies, they're going to face opposition, they're going to face challenges, people bigger than them, strong, all of that, right? What does he say? Don't be afraid, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I'm never going to leave you. David says to Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, what does he say? Be strong, do the work, don't be afraid. Why? God's with you. Psalm 23. You've recited it at funerals before. You've prayed it in the hospital before. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why do we not have to fear evil? The presence of God is with us. the presence of God is greater than the evil that we'll face. It's greater than the valley that we'll face. It's greater than the darkness that we'll face. We don't have to fear because God is with us. Luke chapter 2, the shepherds, they're out there and the angels appear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid is what they say. Well, why not? Savior's born. God's here. God's with us now. You don't have to fear anymore. Matthew 1, the angel comes to Mary. Greetings, O favored one. What's the first thing she's told? Greetings. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. And if there was ever someone that needed to replace fear with courage, it's Mary, isn't it? Think about what the very first Christmas was going to mean for her. Her first Christmas looked a lot different than your Christmas this year, I can tell you that. Mary, she was a teenager when the angel appeared to her. Unexpected pregnancy, move to a new city. I'm sure plenty of drama and gossip and talk from all kinds of people. Her family is suspicious of her. Her fiance is suspicious of her. Fiance's family is suspicious of her. She had trouble from all sides. There's nothing that she could do about any of that. You ever been there? Where you're in a scenario where there's pressure and there's trouble coming from all different sides, and there's really nothing that you can do about it. Mary was there, but she knew what she was called to do. She knew what the angel had told her. She knew it wasn't going to be easy. She was going to have courage. She's going to have to keep going. How's she going to do that, right? That this young girl, she's able to do it because of the promise, the first thing that she was told, the Lord is with you. That's how Mary made it. And that's how you're going to make it. For Christians, what's our answer to fear? The presence of God. God is with us. When fear creeps in, when the pressure mounts, remind yourself, God is with you. Second, God with us brings comfort and gives peace in every season. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, life is like a roller coaster, and some of you probably feel like you're on one right now. You're not happy about it. You didn't sign up for it. You didn't jump on it willingly. Your roller coaster doesn't feel like Splash Mountain at Disney World, the happiest place on earth. Your roller coaster right now feels like it's off the rails. And it's heading towards a painful, painful end. And listen, I get it. We're all on one roller coaster or another. None of us are on the same ride. We all walk through different seasons. The good news of Christmas is this: God's with us in every season. His comfort, His peace never leaves us. So if you're on top of the mountain in your life right now, if you're celebrating just the best moments you've ever had, and everything is good, and it's joyous, it's exciting, God's with you on top of that mountain. His peace and His comfort are still there. Or if you're on the other side of things, if you find yourself in the darkest valley, if you feel just absolutely crushed, if your heart is hurting, God's with you. His peace and His comfort guard your heart in this season too. For many, heading into the holidays, it can be a painful season. You might have an empty chair this year that hasn't been empty before because you've had a year of loss or a year of grief. You might be sick and you're not looking forward to the celebration. You're not looking forward to the crowds. You just want to fast forward to next year. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe your finances are strained. Maybe your relationship is in trouble. If you find yourself in that season, play this song, Emmanuel, God is with us. Let it be on repeat in your mind and in your heart, and let the presence of God bring you comfort and peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. This is a promise of God. His presence brings comfort to whatever season you're walking through. And then finally, third, God with us empowers our obedience and gives us strength to do what God's called us to do in every season. I've seen a phrase recently, seen it on social media, I've seen it on t-shirts. I've heard parents say this to their kids, and it's just a phrase, you can do hard things, right? And parents, I believe, are saying this to their kids to teach them resilience, to teach them perseverance, I think the message they're trying to send is keep going, be strong, don't let the hard days win, all of that stuff. Well, listen, as children of God, we need to know that He's with us and He gives us everything we need to keep going, everything that we need to be strong, right? He tells us, we saw in our verses earlier, Deuteronomy and in Joshua, be strong, be courageous. You can do this. Why? Well, not because you're strong enough, not because you're talented enough, not because you've already proven yourself enough. No, be strong and courageous because I am with you. So even when life is tough, even when you are facing a challenging call on your life or massive obstacles, you can live a life obedient to Christ and obedient to His word because He's with you. His strength empowers you to live out His word in a way that will consistently bring glory and honor to Him. Again, this story from Mary's perspective, everything that she's walking through, she's not strong enough. None of us are strong enough to handle that on our own. It's all about the first thing the angel told her, God is with you. She was walking into a season where she has this high and holy calling on her life that was also a very hard calling on her life. She was able to walk through it and do it in obedience to God. Why? Because God was with her. And God's with you too. He's not going anywhere when life gets hard, when life gets confusing, or when life gets messy. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. God is with you. Christmas declares that God is with us. Back to Matthew chapter 1. And they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The first gospel, that's Matthew, the first chapter, there's this promise, God is with us. And I want you to look at the end of Matthew as well. The very last phrase in the book of Matthew. This is the words of Jesus now. Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. The gospel of Matthew begins and ends with the promised presence of God in our lives. If you are a follower of Jesus, He has bookended the gospel with a promise of His presence. Let that sink down into your heart. God is with you. He promises to never leave you. That's the story of Christmas. That is the truth of the gospel. So as you walk through the busiest month of the year, the craziest month of the year leading up to Christmas, no matter what you experience, maybe it's going to be joy. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's excitement. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's confusion. Maybe you're just overwhelmed. Right, no matter what you experience, remind yourself, God is with you. Let everything Christmas, everything that you see that reminds you of Christmas, press play on that song in your heart that God is with you. When you see a Christmas tree, just let it trigger the thought, God's with me right now. Wherever you see it, the mall, driving, God's with me right now as I see this. As you see the lights, God is with you. Just press play in your heart. As you see presents that are wrapped and going under the tree, remind yourself, speak that to yourself. God is with you. When you see an ugly Christmas sweater tomorrow, you're going to see it. Remind yourself, that ugly sweater tells me what? God is with me. And He's never going to leave. Would you bow with me this morning? Take a moment. I just want you to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Say, God, thank you that you are with me. Tell Him that. Don't just listen to me talk now. I want you to have this moment of prayer before the Lord. God, thank you for being with me. And I'd like to encourage you to make this personal. God, thank you for being with me in. Just tell Him what you're walking through. He knows, but confess it to Him. God, thank you for being with me in this illness. God, thank you for being with me in this season of my marriage. God, thank you for being with me in this season of incredible joy and excitement for me and my family. God, thank you for being with me. God, thank you for being with me in this mess. Thank you for being with me in this confusion. Think about what that means, that God's with you, and thank Him. God, thank you for the strength that I have because you're with me. God, thank you for the comfort that I can experience because you're with me. God, thank you that you can take this fear away and replace it with courage because because God, you are with me. Just in a moment of prayer before the Lord. God is with you. Thank him for that. Just a minute, I'm going to pray, and we're going to stand and sing one last song. All hail King Jesus. This morning, as God's worked in your heart, just sing this response to him. God, thank you that you are a king, that you are holy, and that you are here. You're here with me. Let's respond and worship to him. And as we do, we're going to have our pastors and prayer partners down here at the front. And listen, if you're hearing this morning, okay, for the children of God, God's with them, and you'd say that you're not a follower of Jesus, you haven't placed your faith and trust in him, and you're ready to, you want the presence of God in your life, come to talk to one of us and just say, hey, I'm ready to trust Christ, right? I need the presence of Jesus in my life. And just come on down. We'll answer your questions. We'll lead you in a prayer. Maybe you're here and you're walking through one of those difficult seasons, and you just want someone to pray with you, to help remind you that God's with you. Whatever God's doing in your heart, in just a minute when we stand and sing, that's your invitation. Our pastors are here and we'd love to pray with you. Father, we love you and trust you. God, we thank you for your promise. We know them to be true. God, we're thankful that we can look at Christmas and be encouraged and reminded that you are with us and that you are never going to leave us. God, let that song be on repeat in our mind and hearts. God, you're with us and never going to leave us. And God, for that, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.